There's a famous story that happened in the time of the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Rebbe of Lubavitch, that he overheard a conversation among Chassidim, and the Chassidim were talking, so when is Mashiach coming? And one of the Chassidim responded, who knows, wer weiß wenn Mashiach gekommen, who knows when Mashiach is going to come? When the Tzemach Tzedek heard that, so he went over to them, and he told them, a Yid redt nicht azoi. A Yid doesn't talk like that. When is Mashiach coming? Who knows when Mashiach is coming? He said, Lehavdil agoy retazay. And he said, because in the Torah, one of the main places where it talks about Mashiach is the story of Bilam, which we learned in the Torah a few weeks ago in Parshas Balak. And when he starts talking about Mashiach, what is his first comment? Erenu veloy ata. I see him, but not right now. He's going to come. Who knows when? Ver veis when? Ayid says, Mashiach, ani mami b'muna shleima, I believe with complete faith that Mashiach is going to come. Ve'af al pishi ismameya, and even though it may take a little while, im kol ze achakeloi b'chol yoim sheyovei. I believe every single day that today he is going to come. If the day goes by and chas v'shalom Mashiach didn't come, that means that tomorrow he is coming. There's no question in a Yid's mind that Mashiach is coming today. And therefore, it is very important to learn the halachas of Mashiach, because a Yid has to know what to do. And a Yid learns halachas, he learns the laws of everything that he has to know. And he learns the laws of something which is imminent. For example, if he has a choice to learn Hilchas Shabbos or to learn Hilchas Pesach, which one would you choose? Which one would you learn? Shabbos or Pesach? Obviously, you would learn Shabbos because Shabbos is coming in a few days and Pesach it may take a little while. And if it's a week before Rosh Hashanah, are you going to learn the halachas of Rosh Hashanah or the halachas of Pesach? Of course, the halachas of Rosh Hashanah, because this is what's coming imminently. The same thing is with Mashiach. Because Mashiach is coming any day, we have to know what is going to happen. We have to know how to conduct ourselves then. And that's why when we have something specially connected to the parasha, we learn some of the halakhas of Mashiach which are connected to the parasha. A few weeks ago, in Parshas Balak, we had the famous psukim of Bilam that discussed Mashiach. So we learned a big portion of the first chapter of the Rambam that discusses the halakhas of Mashiach. And we called it part one. And we had, Baruch Hashem, many, many, many people who listened to the shiur. And one of the main complaints was that we called it part one, and they wanted to know what happened to part two. Well, today we're going to have a Mirtz Hashem part two. But I just wanted to make very clear that you don't necessarily need to listen to all the shiurim in sequence in order to understand the whole picture. Each one of the shiurim is a subject for itself. And within the shiur, we mention what are the other issues that we are not discussing in the shiur, and you have to look for those in the other shiurim. But the subject that we cover in a shiur is basically a full subject. So therefore, in Parsha Shoftim, this week's parsha, we are going to have one of the most fundamental, unbelievable subjects regarding Mashiach, and we're going to have a much bit better clarity in the whole subject. And another very important point, Parsha Shoftim, Shabbos Parsha Shoftim, falls out every single year, the first Shabbos in the month of Elul. So there must be, and there is of course, a beautiful connection and the unbelievable, encouraging message for the month of Elul connected with the parsha and the halachas of Mashiach of that parsha. And as a matter of fact, we're going to see how the Rebbe explained in Likutei Sichos this whole subject that we're going to be discussing now, how it is connected to Elul, and how this actually revolutionized the whole idea of the month of Elul. So, let's start with the subject. This is all based on Likutei Sichos, volume 34, Chelek Lamed Daled, pages 114, and a little portion from volume 9, Chelek Tes, on pages 297, and from Chelek Beis, volume 2 in Likutei Sichos, pages 622 through 626, and other places. The subject that is discussed in this week's parsha is something which is called Orei Miklat. What is Ore Miklat? For those of you who remember in the past, we learned it. I'm just going to say it very briefly. Ore Miklat are the cities of refuge. If Chas V'Shalom, someone killed someone by mistake, then he runs to Ore Miklat, it's a city of refuge. And over there, there's a whole trial that happens that saves him from if somebody wants to take revenge for the fact that he killed the other person by mistake. Now, this subject of Ore Miklat is discussed in three places in the Torah. We had it a few weeks ago in Parshas Mas'eh. That is the first time where it discusses it in general. Then we had it in Parsha Veschanan. And then in this week's Parsha, in Parsha Shoftim. So let's just look briefly at the flow of this whole mitzvah from the beginning. So if you look in your source number one, here are the psukim from Parshas Mas'eh. And the Torah says as follows. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Leimer. The Rebbe spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu and said as follows. This is in Perik Lamed Hei, Pasuk Tes. The Rebbe said, Daber el Bnei Yisrael ve'amarto aleihem. Speak to the Yidden and tell them, Ki atem over mesayarden arzaknan. When you are going to go over the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael, ve'hikrisem lochem arim, you should designate, you should prepare cities, Ore Miklat yehenu lachem, these should be cities of refuge. Venos shomer reitzeach makei nefesh bishgaga. And someone who unfortunately murdered someone else by mistake, he didn't mean it, so he could run to these cities. We're not going to go now through all the details that even someone who killed willingly also runs to Ore Miklat, and then he has a trial. But the bottom line is that these cities of refuge are for someone who unfortunately murdered by mistake. Says the Torah, Sheish Ore Miklat Tiyen Alochem. You should have six Ore Miklat. Eis Shleisha Orim, three of them, Titnu Bever Ayarden. You should put on the other side of the Arden, where Moshe Rabbeinu is now talking to the Yidden, before they went into Eretz Yisrael. Ve Eis Shleisha Orim, Titnu Beretz Knan. And the other three, you should put on the other side in Eretz Yisrael. A few parshas later, go to source number two in Parsha Veschanon. The Torah says that that's exactly what happened. In Perik Dalet, Pasuk Mem Aleph, says the Torah, Oz Yavdil Moshe Sholosh Orim Be'ever Ayarden. Moshe Rabbeinu, then he designated three Orim Miklot on the other side of the Yarden. Even though he knew that nothing is going to happen with these three Orim Miklot until they don't designate the other three on the other side in Eretz Yisrael. But as Rashi explains over there, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mitzvah Shebo L'Yodi, I got a mitzvah to, I'm going to do it right now. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu right away set aside those three Orim Miklot. What was the purpose of these Orim Miklot? Says the Torah again, Lonus Shomer Reitzeach, so a murderer could run away, could escape. Asher Yirtzach Esreyu Bivlitas, when he killed someone by mistake, Ve'hu Loisoyne Loimit Moil Shilshem, he doesn't hate the guy, Chas V'Shalom. And unfortunately it happened, he went on a ladder to paint the roof, someone walked under the ladder, the can of paint fell down on the guy's head and he killed him. It was a pure mistake. So a person like that goes to Orim Miklot. This is the second source. Go to source number three, which is the punchline. Our parsha, and parsha shoftim, perik yutes pasuk beis, says the Rebbe Shter again. Shalosh arim tavdilach. You should take three cities and designate them. Besoich artzecha, in your land. Asher Hashem elekecha noisen lecha lerishta. That the Rebbe Shter gives you as an inheritance. And later, a few psukim later, pasuk hey, the Rebbe Shter says as follows. I told you that I want you to put three Ore Miklat on the other side of the Yarden. Three Ore Miklat in Eretz Yisrael. Total, six. Says the Rebbe Shter in Pasuk, Hey, Vim Yarchiv Hashem es Lekecho es Gvulcha. When the Rebbe Shter is going to broaden your boundaries. In other words, he'll give you a bigger Eretz Yisrael. Kasher Nishba Lavei Secho, like he promised to your parents. The Rebbe Shter, when Avraham Avinu had his famous Bris Bein Apsarim in Pashas Lech Lecha, he had the famous covenant with the Rebbe Shter. The Rebbe Shter told Avraham Avinu, Lezarecho, to your children, I gave this land. A land of how many nations? 10 nations. How many did the Yidden conquer when they went into Eretz Yisrael? Only 7. Says the Eibishter, that when the Eibishter will give you the broader land, V'nosan lecho es kol ha'aretz asher diber los es lavistecha. He's going to give you the whole land that he promised to your parents. Says Rashi, kasher nishba los es loch, like he promised to give you eretz keini knizi v'kadmeini. Also the other three keini knizi v'kadmeini, which Yehoshua did not give to the Yidden. Continues the Eibishter. What are you going to do in those three countries? You should add another three aremiklot to the ones that you have already, says Rashi. So what's the total here, says Rashi? Harei teisha. So we have a total of 9 aremiklot. Gimel shebe'ever ayarden, 3 which are on the other side of the Yarden. Gimel shebe'eretz Knan, 3 which are in Eretz Yisrael. Ve'gimel le'asid lavoi, and 3 when Mashiach comes. Bottom line, what do the psukim in our parasha tell us? That there is 9 are miklat. 3 Moshe Rabbeinu set aside on the other side of the Yarden, 3 when the Yidden went into Eretz Yisrael, and another 3 are going to be when Mashiach comes. This is what it says in our parasha. When we look in the Rambam brings this, as a matter of fact, in a halacha. Let's look at the Rambam. Go to your source, number 4. The Rambam is in Hilchos Mashiach. As we mentioned in the previous lecture, I'm going to say it very briefly now. The Rambam wrote a sefer called Yad HaChazaka. Yad is Yud Dalet 14. It's divided into 14 parts. Each one of these parts has halachas, has certain laws, which is a total of 83 laws. Each one of these laws is divided into chapters. So we have a total in the whole Yad HaChazaka, 1,000 chapters. The last halacha is called Hilchos Melachim Umilchameseyim VeHilchos Mashiach. The halachas of the kings, their wars, and the laws of Mashiach. And it has a total of 12 chapters. Chapter 11 is, and chapter 12, which are chapter 999 and chapter 1,000 of the whole Rambam, are called Hilchos Mashiach. So, because this Are Miklat that we learned in Parsha Mishpatim discusses Mashiach, so therefore the Rambam brings it in his halachas. So let's see what the Rambam says. Go to your source, number 4. Says the Rambam, Hilchos Melachim L'chameseim V'Hilchos Mashiach in Perik Yud Aleph, chapter 11, halacha Aleph. HaMelech HaMashiach Osid Lamed. Melech HaMashiach is going to get up, the King Mashiach, and he will do certain things. We're not going to go now through the details here. We just want to get to the point of the Are Miklat. And the Rambam continues, Mashiach is going to do certain things. V'chol mi she'eine mamin boy, whoever doesn't believe in Mashiach, or she'eine mechake lebiyosei, or doesn't wait for his coming, says the Rambam, loy bishar nevil bilvad hu kofer, not only does he deny in all the prophets, because as we know, in the prophets there's a lot of prophecies regarding Mashiach, elo b'toyru v'moshe Rabbeinu, he denies in the Torah and in Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because the Torah testifies that Mashiach is coming. Where does the Torah testify? Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, we're going to read it in a few weeks from now in Parsha Nitzavim, right before Rosh Hashanah. The Rebbe just says, V'shav Hashem Elikecha Shvuscha V'richamecha. The Rebbe said is going to return all your captives. V'shav, and he's going to bring you back. V'kibetzcha Mikol Ha'amim, he's going to bring you from all the nations. Even if someone will be far out somewhere away, the Rebbe Shtu will bring him back to Eretz Yisrael. This is what the Rambam says, the first place in the Torah where we see that it discusses the concept of Mashiach, where the Rebbe Shtu is going to bring back all the exiled people. Then the Rambam in that same halacha continues and he says, I'm going to bring you another place in the Torah where it discusses Mashiach. Where is that? In Parshas Bilam, which is Parshas Balak. Over there also says the Rambam, Av beParshas Bilam Nemar. Over there also talks about Mashiach. V'sham nibo b'shnei ha-Mashichim. Over there it discusses two Mashiachs. B'Mashiach HaRishon, Shehu David. The first Mashiach, which is David HaMelech. U'B'Mashiach HaAcharon, Shemin Bibonov. And the last Mashiach, which is going to be from David HaMelech's grandchildren. As we know, Mashiach has to be from David HaMelech. Shemashiach Yisrael Miad B'nei Esav B'Acharon. That he is going to save the Yidden from the last Golus. V'sham Hu Omer, and over there, there's a whole bunch of psukim, Mer'enu V'Layato, I see but that right now, which is that pasuk that we said before in the story of the Tzemach Tzedek, and the Rambam brings a whole bunch of psukim from Parshas Bilam. So basically, what did the Rambam say in the first halacha? that Mashiach is going to come, he's going to do certain things, and whoever doesn't believe in the coming of Mashiach denies in the whole Torah, because we have two places in the Torah where it discusses Mashiach. One, in Parshas Nitzavim, where it says that the Rebbe Shteh is going to ingather all the exiles, and the second one in Parshas Bilam. Comes the Rambam and continues, look in your source number 5, Halacha Beis, the next Halacha. Says the Rambam, I have another place in the Torah where it discusses Mashiach. Where is that? This week's Parsha, Parsha Shoftim. What does it say? Says the Rambam, Av be'orim miklat u'aymer, also in Orim Miklat it says, regarding the Geula, regarding Mashiach, because the Torah says, the pasuk that we just had before, in source number 3, says the Rambam continues, Im yarchiv Hashem alekechas gvulcha, when the Reb is going to broaden your boundaries, v'yosavto lecha oid sholish orim ala sholish sho'ele, you should add another 3 cities to the original 3 which are in Eretz Yisrael, which makes it a total of 9. Says the Rambam, Umei oylom loyhoye dover ze. And so far, this never happened yet. Veloitziva kadosh baruch hu lotoyu. And chas v'sholem to say that the Rebbe Shteh commanded something for no reason. Therefore comes the Rambam and says that I have a third place in the Torah where it discusses Mashiach. And where is that? Orei Miklat. And then the Rambam continues, look at your source number 6, the next halach in halacha gimel, ve'iker advarim kochahein, so what do we have to remember? Sheha teira hazois, that this teira, chukeho mishpateho le'oilom ul'olmei eilomim, that the teira and mitzvahs are forever, ve'in meisifin aleyen ve'leigerin mehen. You're not allowed to add anything to the mitzvahs, you're not allowed to take off anything from the mitzvahs. Somebody wants to say, I want to be better, I want to add, I want to be machmir. So instead of a tefillin of 4 boxes, I'm going to make 5 boxes. Instead of lighting candles only Friday night, I'm going to light them also Thursday night. And I want to add, says the Rebbe Shteh, no. Don't add to the mitzvahs. If somebody wants to have chumras, that has to be within the mitzvah. And the same thing over here, that we have to remember that there is a mitzvah, which is called Miyarchev Hashem Alekeches Gvulcha, the mitzvah of Arei Miklot. And when are we going to be able to complete this mitzvah? When Mashiach comes. Now, on this halacha, that the Rambam said, that also by Orem Miklat, it talks about Mashiach, there are very, very big questions on this halacha. The first question is very simple. The Rambam in the first halacha already brought 2 proofs from the Torah that Mashiach is coming. From Vishav Hashem Alekech Shvusko and Parsha Nitzavim, that the Rebbe Shteh is going to bring in all the exiles. The second from Bilam. Bilam speaks very clearly about Mashiach. That could have been enough. Says the Rambam, no, I have a third proof. Which one? From Orem Miklat. Why? Why do we need so many proofs? Usually the Rambam doesn't do that. And this is what we're going to try to analyze today. Why is the Rambam bringing also this proof from Orem Miklat? Now I know whenever I talk about this subject, everybody jumps up and they ask, wait a minute, why do we need Orem Miklat altogether when Mashiach comes? Who's going to kill when Mashiach comes? Even by mistake, there's not going to be any death when Mashiach comes. Why do we need Orem Miklat? But that's a shir for itself, Emir Tzashem. We'll discuss that a different time. Why do we need Orem Miklat when Mashiach comes? And another question that everybody jumps up and they say, wait a minute. If the Rebbe Shteh wants to add a mitzvah when Mashiach comes, why is it in Orem Miklat? Why couldn't the Rebbe Shteh take a mitzvah that we all do? Tefillin, Shabbos, there's so many beautiful mitzvahs. Orem Miklat is made for the murderers, for the people who never killed by mistake. Is that the mitzvah that we have to add when Mashiach comes? And that's again another whole thing that the Rebbe discussed it. The last Shavuos that we so far heard, Sichas from the Rebbe in Tavshin Nun Aleph. Beautiful, beautiful Sicha on this whole subject of why is Orem Miklat the last mitzvah? The mitzvah that the Rebbe Shteh picked for Mashiach to complete for us. But we're going to leave that right now. Right now we're just going to focus on why does the Rambam make such a big deal about Orem Miklat? Why does he make it in a separate halacha? Obviously there must be something special about Orem Miklat that brings out the concept of Mashiach. Not only that, if the Rambam wants to bring all the psukim in the Torah where it discusses Mashiach, there are more places in the Torah. When Yaakov Avinu blessed his children, what did he bless Yehuda? Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda, ad ki yovei shiloi, till Mashiach comes, the kings are going to be from Yehuda. There are plenty of places in the Torah where you can talk about Mashiach. Why does the Rambam bring three places? Why weren't the first two enough? There must be something special about Ari Miklat. And also, one more thing, if you look back in your source number 5, the halach of the Rambam about Ari Miklat says the Rambam that the Torah says by Ari Miklat that we have to add more when Mashiach comes. And then says the Rambam a very strange expression. And this never happened before yet. And the Rebbe Shter does not command for nothing. What does that mean? It never happened yet. The Rebbe Shter doesn't command for nothing. Of course it never happened. We know that nobody came yet to do the other three Ari Miklat. So what does it mean that the Rebbe Shter doesn't command for nothing? There must be something here that the Rambam wants to tell us here, which is revolutionary. So what is it? So to explain briefly, what is this whole concept? When we look in the Torah is basically divided into three subjects, three types. In the Torah we find Sipurim, we find stories. In the Torah we find Nevuos, we find prophecies. And in the Torah we find Mitzvahs. It's called Sipurim, Nevuos, and Mitzvahs. These are the three basic subjects. Now, when it comes to figure out the practical applications of these three, we're going to see something very, very interesting. Let's analyze them each one by itself. The Sipurim of Torah, the stories, and then the Nevuos, and then the Mitzvahs. Let's start with the stories in Torah. Look to your source number 7. The Rambam says as follows in Soif Hilchas Megillah, the end of Halachas of Megillah, says the Rambam, Kol Sifra Nevim Bechol Aksuvim, all the prophets and the writings like Mishlei and Tehillim, etc. Asidim Libot L'Meis HaMashiach. They're all going to be nullified when Mashiach comes. Without going into details exactly what that means. Chutz Megillah Sester, besides Megillah Sester, of what we read on Purim. Veharehi kayemes kachamisha chumshe teira ukehalachas shel teira shebalpe sheeinon beteilim leolam. The chamisha chumshe teira, the five, what's called the five books of Moses, those, says the Rambam, einon beteilim leolam, they are eternal. Now we have to analyze a little bit, what does it mean they are eternal? For example, we have a story like Vayomer Hashem el Avram lech lecha me'artzecha. What's so eternal about it? What does it mean for us now? So let's continue. There's a very interesting part of the Rambam, by the way, as an introduction to the next source. We all know that there's the 13 animamins, the 13 rules, principles that we started with, I believe. Everybody says that the Rambam wrote it. It is not clear whether the Rambam wrote these 13 animamins. It is definitely based on the Rambam, because the Rambam has a sefer which is called Pirush HaMishnayis. We explained the Mishnah. And in the Masecht of Sanhedrin, before the 10th Perek, Perek Chelek, Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Lo'ilam Abba, the Rambam has a whole introduction. And over there he discusses these rules, these principles. And based on that are the animami. So let's see what is the 8th rule. Look at your source number 8. The Rambam Pirush HaMishnayis in Sanhedrin says the Rambam as follows. Hayosoid HaShmini, the 8th rule, the 8th principle is Heyois HaToyra Min HaShemayim. We have to remember, Torah is divine. Anything we read in the Torah was given directly from the Eibishter himself. Vehu Shenamin Ki Kol HaToyra HaZois. This whole Torah, we have to believe that this whole Torah HaNesuna Al Yedei Moshe Rabbeinu, which was given through Moshe Rabbeinu, Shikulu Mipi Agvura. It's all directly from the Eibishter. Aye, how does Moshe Rabbeinu get in here? If you read the whole Pirush HaMishnayis aside, it's beautiful. I just took some parts which are connected to what we're trying to bring out over here. Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Rambam, k'moy sofer shekoyrin lo, he is like a scribe that you read to him. Behu koisev, and he writes, kol hamoyrois vasipurim vamitzvahs, all the events, the stories, and the mitzvahs. And the Rambam says, ve'ein hefresh bein v'sim nahoyis opilegish u'ben anoichi Hashem alekecha. There's a pasuk that talks about a concubine that she married the grandson of Esav, which has sort of nothing to do with Judaism, but it's a pasuk in the Torah. says the Rambam, "V'timna hoisa pilegesh," and "Anoichi Hashem Elokecha," the first one of the Ten Commandments, is the exact same thing on the exact same level. And says the Rambam, "V'zeh she'omer," and the one that says, that some of the stories, Moshe Sipramidaitoi, Moshe Rabbeinu, he said the story from his own, says the Rambam Kaifru Megalipanim, he denies in the whole Torah, he's a denial. Elo kol dibur ve dibur minatayra yeshbem chokhma suploim le misha mevinoisam. Every single thing which is in the Torah, there is unbelievable amount of wisdom and wondrous explanations to it for the one who understands it. Therefore, ve'ein lo ish elo lahalech be'ikves David Mashiach elekei Yisrael, and everybody has to follow the footsteps of David HaMelech, shehispalel, that he davened to the Eibishter in Tehillim, gal einai v'abito niflois miteirasecha. Please, Hashem, open up my eyes and show me the greatness of the Torah, the wondrous things of the Torah. And the Rambam continues, v'zeh she'onu oisim ayoyim, mitavnis a sukkah velula veshayfar vetzitzis utfilin bezulasam. What we make today, a sukkah, or we have tefillin, or we have tzitzis, shayfar, in a certain form, says the Rambam, who beatzmei hatavnis asher amar Hashem isbarach leMoshe. The Rebbe showed Moshe Rabbeinu, this is how I want a sukkah. This is how I want a shayfar. So the whole Torah is 100% true. Now there are stories in the Torah, says the Rambam, that in these stories there's unbelievable wisdom and wondrous things, but we have to learn to find out what is actually the message of the stories. And we find even more. If you go to source number 9, Braisa of Lamed Beis Midos, this is something which is printed in the back of Masechta Brachos, the first tractate of the Masechta of the Gemara, and over there it gives a bunch of rules how you learn the Torah. So over there, it brings, there's a whole story in Shoftim in the Prophets, that they wanted to have a certain leader, and the leader gave an example. He said, "Holoich," the leader told the Jewish people who wanted him as a leader, "Holoich holchu aitzim limshayach lohem melech." The trees decided one day that they want to appoint a king to themselves. "Vayoymeru lazayis meloich aleinu." They went over to the olive tree and they said, "Become a king." "Lateena," they went to the fig tree. So the question is, v'chi ha'etzim evakshim melech? Do the trees look for a king? What does that mean? Now the answer is, says the Braisa of Rabbi Lab Meis Bidois, "Elo Yisrael amru losniel beknaz velidvoiro veligidoin sheyin hagu sror al Yisrael veloy kiblu." This is an analogy. It's an example that the trees, the te'eno, the zayis, the olive, the fig, this really refers to osniel beknaz, to devoiro, different leaders that the Yidden asked them to lead and they didn't accept it. And that's what you find in the Nevi'im, in the Prophets, that they spoke parables, Mishalim. When can we say that some things that are written in the Torah are really an example to something? Bedivre Kabbalah, in the things that the Prophets say. Aval bedivre Torah mitzvah, iya toyocha ledeshem miloshen mashal. When it comes to a mitzvah, it's not an example. The mitzvah is the actual mitzvah. So we see that the Braise again brings out a point that the stories in the Torah could be that they are an example to something. One last example to this, look to your source number 10, the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos brings from Rabbi Yankiv Baridi on page Dalet Amud Alef. Rabbi Yankiv Baridi said that we find a little contradiction here in the Torah. In Parsha Vayetze, when Yankiv Avinu left his parents' house, the famous story how he went to sleep in the place of the Beis Hamikdash and he had a little wall around his head, the Rebbe told him, "Vehine onoichi imach, I'm going to be with you, ushmarticho bechol asher teilech, I'm going to watch you wherever you go." Uksiv, but to a parsha later, in Parsha Vayishlach, when Esav was coming to Yaakov, all of a sudden, Vayiro Yaakov Ma'od, Yaakov got afraid. What was he afraid of? The Rebbe promised him everything will be fine. Amar Shem Yigra Machet, he said, could be that my sins messed it up. Kedetanya, as we saw later in the Torah, in Parsha B'Shalach, when the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim and they thanked the Eibishter and they sang, what was the end of Oz Yashir? They say that that a fear should befall on the nations in Eretz Yisrael when they're going to come. Ad Yaver Amcho Hashem, Ad Yaver Amzukon Yisrael, till the Yidden are going to go into Eretz Yisrael. But it says two times Ad Yaver until they're going to go in, because they have to go twice. Ad Yaver Amcho Hashem, the first time they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, Zubi Arishayna, this is in the time of Yeshua, Ad Yaveram Zukonisa Zubiyashniya. The second time when they came after the first Golus, after the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, they came with Ezra. So they Yidden said that also at that time there's going to be a fear that the Goyim are going to fear the Yidden. Mikan omru chachamim, said the chachamim, Re'uyim hoyu Yisroel liyosis lahem nes bimei Ezra. The Yidden, when they came the second time, they were worthy that they should have also the same miracles, just like in the time of Yehoshua, that it was all through miracles, that they went with a strong arm, that they were able to take care of all those nations. Kedere shenasu lahem bimei Yeshua bin Nun. Elo shegoram hachet. The problem was that the sins that they did messed it all up. What do we see from here? On the one hand, the stories in Torah have an eternal message. But it doesn't mean that physically this is how it's going to happen. Could be that this is an analogy, it's a mashal to something else. Let's look how the nevuos of Torah, how do the prophecies of Torah work? Till now we had stories. Let's look at prophecies. Go to your source number 11. The Rambam in Hilchos Yiseida Torah, Perik Yud Halacha Dalet. In the 10th chapter, Halacha Dalet, says the Rambam as follows. This is in the beginning of the Rambam. Divrei HaPuronus Shanovi Yomer. If a prophet comes and says something negative is going to happen, Kegoin, for example, Sheyomer, if he says, Pleini Yomus, a certain person is going to die, Oishana Pleinis Rav, Emilchamo, Vekayetze Bidvari Melu, or a certain year is going to be famine, and there's not going to be any food, there's going to be a war. What happens if he's wrong? It doesn't happen. The next year is a beautiful year. There's no war. Says the Rambam. This is not a denial to his nevuah. We don't say, this prophet doesn't know what he's talking about because he said something is going to happen. And it didn't, says the Rambam. No. Shakodesh Baruch Hu Erech Apayim Verav Chesed V'nichom Alaro. The Rebishter is someone who doesn't always do bad, and he doesn't get angry so fast, and therefore what could happen, says the Rambam, ve'efsher se'osu tshuva v'nislach lohem, could be that the people did tshuva, and therefore the Rebbe Shtek forgave them, and therefore he decided not to bring the bad thing. Kanshe Ninveh, like the story in Yoina that we read on Yom Kippur, that the whole city of Ninveh they had, the Rebbe Shtek wanted to destroy it, but because they did tshuva, the Rebbe Shtek changed his mind. Oh, says the Rambam, Avolim iftiach ala toivah. What happens if the prophet said there is something good is going to happen? Ve'omar shiyye kach ve'kach, and he said it's going to be this and this. Ve'lebo ha-toivah she'omar, and the good thing didn't happen. Oh, biyodua shehu novi sheker. Now we know that this guy is sheker. Why? Shekol dover toivah she'yigzer okel, because anything good that the Rebbe Shtek says, afilu al tnai, even if it isn't a condition, eino chayzer. The Rebbe Shtek doesn't take that back. Halamadata, what do we learn from here? Shebedivrei hatoiva bilvadi bochen anovi. How can we tell that anovi is true? If anovi says something good is going to happen, and it actually happens, that's how we could test anovi. And if chas v'shalom it doesn't happen, then we could test that he's not a good anovi. So it seems that if there was a bad prophecy, that could change. If there was a good prophecy, for sure it's going to change. For sure it's going to be. That's prophecies. However, we were going to see now from another place in the Rambam, again in Pirush HaMishnayos, that even a good prophecy can change. How is that? Look at your source number 12. The Rambam in the Hakdom of Pirush HaMishnayos, in the beginning of his Sefer Pirush HaMishnayos, he says the same story that we brought before with Yaakov Avinu. Aval ma shepachad Yaakov achar shivticha kodesh baruch hu b'psuras tevis. What Yaakov Avinu was afraid after the Rebbe Shtek gave him all those good news, he said, I'm going to watch you, k'me shenemar, v'hine onoichi imoch u'shmarticho b'chol asher teilech. The Rebbe Shtek promised him, I'm going to watch you, v'hoyo mefachet pen yomus, and he was still afraid, maybe he's going to die. K'me shenemar, v'yiro Yaakov me'oid, v'yetzer loy, that he was still afraid. What was he afraid? The Rebbe Shtek told him everything will be fine. Amru chachamim b'inyanahu, so the chachamim explain, shehoyo mefachet me'ovein, shemo yihye gerim le'misa. He was afraid that maybe there was one of the sins that he did changed the course of events. This is what the Gemara says, that he thought that maybe the sin messed it up. Yoyre said, what does this show? Shakodesh Baruch Hu Yavtiach B'Teiva. That the Rebbe Shtek could sometimes promise something good. V'yigberu ha'vaynas v'lo yiskayim ha'teiva hu. And sins can change the course of events. We said before that it's not so. That when the Navi says something good, it's going to happen. Says the Rambam, Yesh Ladas, She'inyin ze einay elo bein HaKadosh Baruch Hu bein HaNavi. When the Rebishter talks directly to a Navi, to a prophet, and he tells him something good is going to happen, the Rebishter may change it, if it's just between the Rebishter and the Navi. But if, continues the Rambam, what happens if the Navi, if the Rebishter tells the Navi to tell Laftiach b'nei Odom b'fsura teiva, then that for sure is going to happen. And that's how we check a Navi if he's correct. What do we see here? That even prophecies is something that is subject to change. A bad prophecy, for sure, is subject to change. Because someone could do tshuva, like we see by Ninveh, and the Rebishter could change it. A good prophecy, it depends. If the prophecy, the Rebishter told the Navi to tell it to everybody else, oh, so that one stays. But if he said it between the Navi and the Rebishter, so that one could also change. So we see also that prophecies also is something which is subject to change. It all depends on exactly how it works. So, stories in the Torah could be that it's only a mashal, and we have to understand what's behind it. Nevuah is something that sometimes will happen, and sometimes it may not happen. However, when it comes to mitzvahs, mitzvahs are eternal, exactly how they are given. Let's see. Look at your source, number 13. The Rambam says in Hilchos Yoseida Teira Perik Tes Halacha Aleph, this is one of the first halachas in the Rambam. Davar barur umfuresh batayra. Shehi mitzvah emedes le'olam ul'olam me'olamim. It's a clear thing in the Torah that the Torah is something which stands forever, which basically here we're talking about the mitzvah is emedes le'olam ul'olam me'olamim. The mitzvah stays forever. Ein lo lo shinui v'lo giroyin v'lo tosefes. There's no adding to a mitzvah, there's no taking off to a mitzvah, and there's no changing to a mitzvah. Shenemar, as it says, we're going to read it again right before Rosh Hashanah in Parsha Nitzavim. Lanu ulvaneinu ad olam. These are for our children and grandchildren forever. Lases is called divrei Torah azais, to do all these words of the Torah. Says the Rambam holomadto shekol divrei Torah mitzuvim anu lasoisam ad olam. That the mitzvahs are something that we have to do forever. And that is why you see also before you had in your source number 6, we brought also from the Rambam in Hilchis Mashiach, where the Rambam says, "Ve'ikar advarim kochahin." Your source number 6: Ha'teira hazois chukeha u'mishpateha le'olam ul'olam me'olamim. Mitzvahs are forever. Ve'ein me'sifin aleim ve'legedim hem. You don't add, you don't take off. And even in the Pirush HaMishnayos before, in your source number 9, at the end, after the Rambam explains that the stories in Torah could be mishalim, what are the last words in the Rambam? Aval bedivra Torah mitzvah. These are not a mashal. This is exactly how the Rebishter said it. So what do we see here? That there's a major difference between mitzvahs and stories and nevuahs. Stories and nevuahs, could be it's mashalim, it's an example. Could be it's going to happen, not going to happen, it all depends. But if it's a mitzvah, that is something which is eternal and that does not change. If that's the case, now we understand this whole halach and the Rambam of the Orem Miklat. Now everything is going to fall into place. What is the first question that we asked? Why did the Rambam put the whole story of Orem Miklat in halacha based in a separate halacha, and he didn't put it, the same proof, together in the first halacha with the other two? It's very simple. The other two proofs, the one from Parshas Nitzavim that the Rebishter is going to ingather all the exiles, it's a story. What the Rambam, what the Bilam said, says the Rambam, v'shom nibo b'shnem shichim, that was a nevuah. So we saw already that stories and nevuah, we can say that it's either a mashal, or it's something that can be changed. It all depends. Comes the Rambam and says, Mashiach is also a mitzvah. Once it's a mitzvah, it's something which is nitzchi, which is eternal forever. So that's why the Rambam puts it in a separate halacha, because there's a major difference between mitzvahs and stories and mishalim. And if that's the case, now we understand. When you go back to your source number, the Rambam is source number 5, we asked, after the Rambam brings the story of the Orem Miklat, the Rambam says, "Umei oylam loy hayo davar zeh," and this never happened, "Veloy tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu letoyu." What does the Rambam say? Veloitziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tziva, Milashem Mitzvah. The Rambam is saying, Chas V'Shalom, to say that there's a mitzvah which is not going to happen. No, Chas V'Shalom to say that. The whole concept of Arei Miklat is a mitzvah. Therefore, it's for sure that it's going to happen the way it is. If that's the case, we're going to take off another major question that everybody asks. And a lot of the Mefarshim ask the question. Since Mashiach is such an important issue, why isn't there a mitzvah in the Torah to believe that Mashiach is coming? Excellent question. Answers the Rebbe, you don't need it. Because you have a mitzvah in the Torah. The mitzvah of Arei Miklat, what does it say? When Mashiach is going to come, we are going to add in the mitzvah another 3 Arei Miklat. So it's part of the mitzvah that Mashiach has to come. And it's something which is nitzchi. So you don't need another mitzvah to believe that Mashiach is coming. The moment you believe that mitzvahs are true and eternal, and you don't add anything to them, Mashiach is part of that. So therefore, there's no need to have an extra mitzvah to believe that Mashiach is coming. So therefore, it comes out that the Rambam is telling us an unbelievable point here. We said that we have 3 subjects in Torah. We have something which is called Sippurim. We have something which is called Nevuos. And we have something which is called mitzvahs. The concept of the Geula, when Mashiach is going to come, is mentioned in all 3. It's mentioned in the Sippurim of Torah. It's mentioned in the Nevuos of Torah. And it's mentioned in the mitzvahs of Torah. So every single part of Torah, whichever way you're going to pull it, the Geula is right in there. Why do we need it in all 3? Very simple. Because the Rambam, as you saw in your source, number 4, the Rambam gives a hakdama. He gives an introduction that Mashiach is going to come. And right after that says the Rambam, whoever doesn't believe or wait for Mashiach, he denies in the Torah and in Moshe Rabbeinu. Why does the Rambam say that? Besides that, we have another whole shir on this, but connected to our concept here, there are some who say that the whole Geula is an example. It's not necessarily something physical. It's something beruchnius in the spiritual worlds. It's something which is in the intellect. Physical, Geula, a person, Mashiach. They, for some reason, have a different way to look at it. Comes the Rambam and gives a hakdama. If you don't believe that it's something physical, you're denying in Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu. Because it's in the stories, it's in the Nevuah, and it's a mitzvah. And the moment it's a mitzvah, you can't get away from it. And therefore, the Rambam wants to make it very clear. Mashiach is a human being. He's coming to take the Yidden out of Golus. And not only that, there's going to be a Geula. And all the Yidden are going to go out of Golus. And we're going to have a mitzvah then. And so on and so forth with all the other details. So now you understand why the Rambam puts it as a separate halacha. Because this is a foundation to the whole concept of the Geula. That it's something physical. Of course, there's going to be many deep concepts to it. Just like every mitzvah. A mitzvah, there's the actual physical mitzvah. Putting on tefillin is the physical mitzvah. And then there's a lot of kavanis and the spiritual things that happen around the mitzvah. But the bottom line of the mitzvah is the physical. And the same thing when you light Shabbos candles, etc. And the same thing goes with Mashiach. We cannot go away from the physical. Mashiach is a person, his father and mother. He comes from the family of David HaMelech. And he is going to bring us to the complete redemption. So, now at least we see that it's something in the Torah, in the mitzvahs. But the basic question is, what does this mean practically for us? Okay, so we know there's a story of cities of refuge. But none of us, thank God, most people haven't killed someone by mistake. They have to run away to the city of refuge, to the Arei Miklat. What does all of this mean, practically speaking? As we don't have enough time, I will just, in a nutshell, bring out an unbelievable concept. Today, there are many, many outreach groups. Outreach. The pioneer of this whole subject, of going out and bringing back a Yid to his roots with the greatest love, is obviously the Rebbe. And the Rebbe started this over 60 years ago when nobody was around. The Rebbe was criticized. I don't want to even go into the details of what the Rebbe had to go through. But one of the main things that the Rebbe had to do is to bring out original, innovative, pioneer concepts in Torah to show a person who's far away from Torah how really the Torah is so beautiful, and Torah loves every single Jew. The Rebbe loves every single Jew. Not chas v'shalom compromising Torah. But as the Mishnah says, umekarvon la Torah, bring them to the Torah and teach them the beauty of Torah. And the Rebbe in his sichas brought out these unbelievable concepts. And we're going to see now what the Rebbe did with Ore Miklat. By the way, just on an historical point, there was a very, very great, great scholar in Eretz Yisrael. He just passed away a few years ago. His name was Reb Chaim Zimmerman. He wrote an unbelievable sefer, a very, very hard subject, on a book which is called Agan HaSahar, which discusses the dateline. It's one of the most complicated halachas. I'm not going to get it, but it's a genius book. And he got close to the Rebbe in the early 50s. And my wife's grandfather, Reb Mordechai Shusterman, had a printing shop. And the printing shop was called the Balshan Printing. All the nicest Sfarim in America were printed by Reb Mordechai Shusterman in his printing place. And he told me, I asked him, I'm sure you met Reb Chaim when he came to print his sefer. So he said, sure, of course, I met him many times. So I said, what could you tell me something about Reb Chaim? So he says that Reb Chaim came to the printing shop where they were printing Likutei Sichas Chelek Aleph, when they printed the first volume of Likutei Sichas. And obviously, Reb Chaim had seen some of the sichas from the Rebbe before. And Zaydi Shusterman asked him, what do you say on the Likutei Sichas? And Reb Chaim said, Likutei Sichas, originelle rayonis. These are original ideas. This is how he termed the Likutei Sichas. And that is actually what it is. One of the first pioneering ideas that the Rebbe moved to the concept of what's called today outreach is regarding the month of Elul, the connection of Ore Miklat to Elul, an unbelievable concept. Let's go and look in the source. In source number 16, in Parsha Mishpatim, the Torah says as follows, in Perik Chafalav, Pasuk Yudalit, Ma'ke ish v'meis, mois yumos. If a person hits somebody else and the person dies, you have to kill him, the murderer. However, v'asher lo tzodo, what happens if somebody did not plan to kill the guy? The Rebishter orchestrated it that way, that's how it happened. I'm going to give you a place where the person could seek refuge, where he's going to run away to. And this is obviously the Ore Miklat, as we discussed before. Go to source 17. If you look in the pasuk that we say, the first letter of these four words, Ino, Liyode, Vesamti, Loch, is the words Elul. Says the Arizal, look in source number 17, Likutetera Larizam Parsha Mishpatim. Lirmois, what is this trying to hint to us? Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechazdei, the Rebbe with his gutzkeit, with his goodness. Ino, Vezimen Chodesh Elul, the Rebbe prepared the Chodesh Elul. Lechol Mishechoto Besoy Hashana. Anybody who, God forbid, sinned throughout the year, sheyoshuv oz b'tshuva v'kablu. The Rebbe gave to Yidden a city, a place, a time of refuge. If chas v'sholem, throughout the year, a person sinned, did something wrong, it's not over. There's a time which is called Elul, a refuge time. You go in there and you'll be able to clean it all off. This is what the Arizal says. Came the Rebbe, look at a beautiful quote. Your source number 18 in Likutei Sichas Chelek Beis. The Rebbe, this was the first year, the Rebbe became Rebbe in 1951. This was the first Elul. And the Rebbe gave to his chassidim, he says, please, go out to the world and give this message. What's the message? The Rebbe sagt zu Yidden, the Rebbe says to the Jewish people, Ich gebe euch 29, 30 Tag. I'm giving you 29, 30 days, which is the month of Elul. Was bemeshech fun di tag, during these days, as ihr wird sich abreißen von den nicht guten Regilusen vehanhoges vom Besitzer, if you will remove yourself from the not proper behavior that was done until now, what are you going to do? Venos shama, and you will run away to the city of refuge, ihr wird antläufen in the Elul dike Seder hanhoge. You're going to go, what's the city of refuge? In the Elul, in the environment of Elul, if zu besetzen sich dort, and this is how you planning to remain, to conduct yourself in the future, is demult vet ihr kennen verrichten, you will be able to repair alles, was es ist gewesen, bis jetzt nicht wie es darf zu sein. Anything that a person may have done not proper, you will be able to fix. And the Rebbe, he actually, there's a whole sikh over here, how the Rebbe explained it, that a person who kills someone by mistake, what does it mean to kill? And the Torah doesn't say to kill, the Torah says shofech dam, to spill blood. Every time a person does an action, he spills blood, because he moves. And sometimes a person will do an improper action, and therefore he spilled the blood improperly. So it's a maki nefesh bishgogo. But obviously a person, when he does an aveda, he doesn't really do it because he wants to do something bad. It's a mistake, etc., etc. Therefore, says the Rebbe, no matter what a person may have done until the month of Elul, as bad as he thinks it may be, that Eibishter gave him a perfect time, go into that time, Elul, and over there you'll be able to repair everything. Bemele betazayin lemiklot migoyel adam, and this is going to be a refuge, a protection, chas v'shalom, from the goyel adam. Who is this goyel adam, the one who wants to take revenge? Allerle kitrugim, all those negative forces that stand on top of a person to remind God, this person did this person did that. When a person will do a tshuva according to his level, some people do a tshuva which is called meyire from fear of God, some people do it from love to God, says the Rebbe very clearly, you're going to be inscribed and sealed le'alter right away, besifron shel tzadikim leshono toivam sukkah. So by going into the month of Elul, which is the city of refuge, then we are going to be written up in the book of Tzaddikim, and we're going to have a very good and sweet year. And this is the concept of Arei Miklat. On the practical level, we have to get that message out there. Many people get very broken from their situation, and they say, I'm worthless, I'm a nothing, I did this, I did that. Comes the Rebbe and says, no, there's no such thing. Everything can be repaired. The month of Elul is the Arei Miklat, is the city of refuge in time. And when you take advantage of that, you can repair everything, become a new person, and the Eibishter will give him a Shana Tovam Sukkah, a good and sweet year. And this was the first message that the Rebbe sent out to the world. Then it was after the World War, and people were zubrochen, and there was the second and third generation of American Jewry, and people were so confused, who's going where, what, when. No, the Rebbe came and made it very clear. Don't look at your past. Go into the right environment. Build yourself up properly according to Torah, and you're going to have the best future possible. And this is the concept of Arei Miklat. And this is the idea that Mashiach is going to do, repair the whole world. And I remember I once heard an unbelievable story from Rabbi Manas Friedman. He has a school for young Jewish women that didn't have a chance to study when they were young, so they go back to their roots and they study. And there was one girl, one young lady who has done it all. She has been there, done it, and when she found out the beauty of Yiddishkeit, she did everything possible to put herself back on the right track. And she did a lot to come back, but she never was sure whether what she did was enough, was it good. So Rabbi Friedman told her, write into the Rebbe. She wrote into the Rebbe and she said, Rebbe, I tried to do the best that I can to do tshuva. How can I find out if my tshuva was accepted? How can I find out? The Rebbe answered her two words. Tshuvasa niskabla. Your tshuva was accepted. In order to be able to say that means you know what's going on. And this is the Rebbe's motto. Don't look back. Look forward. Build. Continue. Grow. This is the whole idea. And that's the concept of Arei Miklat. Arei Miklat is there to say, you did something wrong, fix it, and continue going from strength to strength. And this is the idea of Ore Miklot. And definitely, when we are going to follow this directive, we are going to have a very good and sweet year. And so at least now we understand the concept briefly of Ore Miklot, that because it's a mitzvah, so therefore the concept of Mashiach, the concept of the Geula, is a concept which is eternal, unquestionable. Any questions? Okay. We said before that the concept of Mashiach is physical, eternal, it's a mitzvah. And stories in Torah can be the Dera Mashal. The Rambam, later when he talks about Mashiach, he says that Vegarza Avim Keves, that there's going to be the wolf will lie with the sheep. And the Rambam says clearly that it's a Mashal. That's an example. So how does that work? The answer in a nutshell, we're mixing two issues. I mentioned before that the Rambam in Hilchas Mashiach has two chapters, chapter 11 and chapter 12. Chapter 11 is what we did today, discusses the person, Mashiach, the actual Geula. What is that? In there, there's no Mashalim. Over there, it's clear, it's a mitzvah, or a miklat, it's going to happen. Perek Yud Beis, the Rambam discusses the era of Mashiach. When we're talking about the era of Mashiach, yeah, over there we have certain things which are Mashalim, certain things which are clear. For example, the Rambam over there discusses who's going to be first, Mashiach or Eliyahu HaNavi'. Will Eliyahu HaNavi'. First come and usher in the Geula? And the Rambam says it's not very clear. There's things going on, yes, no, etc. So regarding the era of Mashiach, yeah, we have all kinds of details. But regarding the concept of the Geula and Mashiach, that is something physical, and that's why the Rambam divides it into two separate chapters, Perek Yud Aleph and Perek Yud Beis. And actually, this alone is a shir of at least 2 hours, based, as I mentioned before, in what the Rebbe explained, the last Shavuos in Tavshin Nun Aleph, where he explains the whole subject of exactly what is going to happen when Mashiach comes. But the bottom line is, as we mentioned before, it is Ore Miklot is a mitzvah, and therefore the concept of Mashiach is something which is physical and unquestionable.